talk to you today. Last week I talked about how to pray for our church. And part of in praying for our church was that pray that we, that's all of us, would share God's word boldly. I changed that from used to it was pray that God would bless the preaching and teaching of his word. Well, I still want God to do that, and we still can ask him for that, but now we're praying for God to help us to share his word boldly. That's out in our community or in our Sunday school classes or wherever we may be, in the grocery store, the hairdresser, the auto shop, or no telling where we might go. But wherever we go, that we would be salt and light in this world, and that we would share. So, how to pray for unbelievers, how to pray for the lost. And turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 26, verse 15. Acts 26, 15. Paul's giving his testimony. Paul is sharing, and he is sharing before King Agrippa. So Paul tells his story. He just tells his life story. He tells about his conversion. And he gives the whole account of that. And then he tells King Agrippa what his mission is, what he's supposed to do. And he says down here in verse 17, the last part of that, Jesus is talking to him, and Paul is relating this. This is what Jesus told him. I'm sending you to them, that's to the Gentiles, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, oh God, that they might receive forgiveness of sin and a share among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's a great prayer if we turn it into a prayer, isn't it? Here's the mission that God has given Paul. I'm sending you. Open their eyes. Turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, and that they might receive forgiveness of sin and a share among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. So yesterday, I heard a man share his testimony before a group of people, and he was going to share in sharing his testimony, he wanted to answer two questions. He wanted to answer the how and the why. And so the why, he talked about a little bit about his life and how he needed to know Jesus Christ. And the how, he simply said, I prayed. He said, I didn't pray anything fancy. I just prayed, Lord, forgive me. And God honored that. So that's a testimony. And he was sharing with a group of people, but you know, we can all share our faith. We can all share. And one of the, before we do that sharing, I think it's important that we pray. So how to pray for unbelievers. Now, I'm not going to give you a list of things like, you know, pray this, 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 and this, and this for those unbelievers. It's going to be more personal than that. First of all, I'm going to tell you this. Start with love and compassion. Pray for love and compassion. Now, I thought you were saying pray for them. I am. But let's start with praying for love and compassion in our hearts. You know, there are different ways to share the gospel. And from the world's point of view, the caricature of someone sharing the gospel sometimes is that we're wearing a black suit and a white shirt, and we're carrying a Bible that's probably about as large as this one, and we're beating them over the head with it. You're a sinner. Turn to God. You're condemned. You know, repent. Well, there may be a place for that, but if we're sharing without love, there's no place for that. So start with love and compassion. And so when we go to God in prayer, here's what I want you to write down today. I didn't give you blanks, but I want you to write the statement down. It's not on the screen, so you got to pay attention. All right? Before you ask God to change someone else's heart, allow him to change your heart. Okay? Before You ask God to change someone else's heart, allow him to change your heart so that you have love and compassion for that person. You know, our verse, Jeremiah 31:3b, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And look at the people that came to Jesus. You know, there's a whole list of them in the New Testament. But let's take Nicodemus, for example, in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, a ruler, a teacher of in Israel, a religious leader, comes to Jesus at night, and he asks him, what must I do? He comes to him, and first of all, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. And then Jesus replied, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked another question, how can anyone be born when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus answered that question very patiently. He said, truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit. And then Nicodemus down in verse 9 said, how can these things be? And Jesus again replied, and he replies with patience and understanding. He says, truly I tell you, we speak what we know, and we testify to what we've seen, but you do not accept our testimony. And he goes on to explain. And then we have John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so you see, Jesus is dealing with Nicodemus with love and compassion. I mean, he's firm. He's not wishy-washy on the message, but he's dealing with him with love and compassion. So let that be our example. And we could go on through so many of the folks that Jesus encountered or that came to Jesus, and, you know, from the woman who reached out to touch him, from the woman who was caught in adultery, from just over and over and over, from Zacchaeus, who was up in the tree, hoping to see Jesus. Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house. He had love and compassion for people. Matter of fact, when all of these folks were coming to Jesus, it's remarkable that he took the time to minister to them. And when he saw the crowds, he said that he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So start with love and compassion. When that happens, you'll know it, because then all of a sudden something that you'll probably know this word, you've heard it before. Then you have a burden for them. Then you have a burden for them. I remember one time I went out and met in an apartment, and there were two or three of us there, you know, together as a team, and there was a young lady there. Her boyfriend was there, and so I shared the gospel. We shared the gospel with them, and we got down to the end of it, finished our, you know, talking, and I asked her if she was ready to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. She said no. And I felt, you know, my heart just kind of broke inside because I was hoping that she would. Somehow, I had just met this person 15 minutes earlier, but now my heart's breaking because she hadn't accepted the gospel yet. So what to do? Pray for her. Pray for her. Pray that she would. Pray that her eyes would be open. Pray, you know, but start with that love and compassion. That's going to motivate. That's the fuel for the furnace of prayer. That's where we go from there, that burden. So start with love and compassion. And then, how to pray for an unbeliever. Pray in faith and expectation. Pray in faith and expectation. Here's what I'd have you write down on this. Pray for God's will rather than trying to tell God how to do it. Okay? Now, it's God's will that they be saved, right? It's God's will that they come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But so oftentimes when we go to God, we want to pray for something and we give him instructions on how we think he ought to do it. God, do this, 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 and this. And we do that in so many areas. But God knows what he's doing, right? Amen? God knows how to do things. I mean, give God credit for being God, right? Sometimes we think, well, I don't know what to pray. What if I prayed the wrong thing? Well, I think God's smart enough to figure it out, right? Well, what if I prayed for something and that wasn't God's will? You think God's going to go ahead and do it anyway? Even if it's the wrong thing? No. So, you know, give God credit, right? So pray for God's will rather than tell God how to do it. Now, you know, when I go and I'm planning on sharing, I say, God, I pray that you would be with me and help me to share, but I pray that you'd be with this person and help them to have an open heart, an open mind, and to understand. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw them to you. But basically, we have to leave it in God's hands. You know, he may do it in a variety of ways. I would be thrilled. I have some family members that I pray for. I would be thrilled if I had the privilege to go to them and share the gospel with them and they accepted Christ. But you know what? I'd be just as thrilled if somebody else did it. Doesn't matter to me. Right? So I don't care how God does it. I want it, you know, his will to be done, right? So we're praying for God's will. So we pray in faith and expectation. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15 for just a moment. Luke chapter 15. And there we have three stories that you're very familiar with. We have the prodigal son, the lost son. We have the parable of the lost coin. We have the lost sheep. Start out with the sheep. See, we're praying in faith and expectation. And the lost sheep. Okay, it says, which one of you, what man among you, has 100 sheep and loses one of them and does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? So that shepherd leaves the 99, he goes looking for the one, and he looks until he finds it. That's in faith. And the fact that he goes and looks at all is expectation. I'm going to find that sheep. And he looks until he finds it. And now this is a parable, of course. So he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about God. What woman among you has 10 silver coins, and if she loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, rejoice with me because I found the silver coin that was lost. She lights the lamp. She does what's necessary. She sweeps the house, what's necessary. That's faith. I'm going to find that coin. I'm going to find that coin. And she searches until she gives up, right? No, she searches until she finds it, then she rejoices. So that's faith and expectation. Pray in faith and pray in expectation. You know, sometimes I've talked with people and about their family members or talked with people about their acquaintances. Well, they begin to tell, well, I don't know that they'd be open to. I don't know that they'd be. I don't know. Do we pray that way too? God, I don't know if they're going to listen to you. I don't know. Let's pray in faith and expectation. There's verses, Bible verses, talk about that. In Hebrews, it says that we need to pray. In James, it says we need to not doubt. Matter of fact, in James, it also says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, and we could say righteous person, availeth much. It makes a difference. And then we see the parable of the son who went away and the son who stayed. The son, younger son, went away, divided the inheritance with me, Dad, and he went to the far country. squandered his estate in foolish living, spent everything he had, severe famine come. You know, severe famine always comes after you spend everything you have. All right? And he longed to fill his stomach with the food that he was feeding the pigs. And he came to his senses and he said, how many of my father's servants have more than enough? I'm getting up. I'm going back to my father. And then notice this, that when he did, he had a speech prepared and all that. But it says down in verse 20, he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. See, I think the father was living in faith and expectation that one day that son would come back. Do you agree? That's not reading too much in there, is it? I don't think so. We're talking about God, and he welcomes the son back. Now, there's another son whose heart was, his body was there, but his heart was not right with the father. And if that son had come to have a heart-to-heart talk with his dad and repented, don't you know that dad would have welcomed him and threw his arms around him and said, you were here before, but now we are one. So pray in faith and expectation. What did the thief on the cross say to Jesus? I mean, it wasn't a whole big, long speech, was it? He said, somebody help me. Remember me. That's all he said. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And so then Jesus said, today, truly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't have to have the right words. He didn't have to have the flowery speech. He didn't have to have it all typed up and submitted to the synagogue or to the temple so that it could be approved for all the flowery language that it needed to have. It was just a simple, Lord, remember me. The fellow who was sharing his testimony yesterday said he just prayed, Lord, have mercy and forgive me. So also in Luke chapter 18, there's a tax collector who prays. There's a Pharisee and there's a publican, a tax collector. One of them prays, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not like other sinners. But the tax collector stood afar off and he just said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. One of those two men went home justified that day. That was the tax collector. So pray in faith and expectation. And then the third thing is to pray persistently and regularly. Luke 18. Jesus told a parable. And the point of this parable is explained right at the very beginning of it. Now he told them a parable, that's verse 1, on the need for them to pray always and never give up. How long did the man with the lost sheep look for it? Till he found it. How long did the lady with the coin that was lost sweep and look for it? Till she found it. How long did the father wait until the son came home? Pray and never give up, persistently and regularly. And he tells a parable there about the judge who doesn't respect men, doesn't fear God. But a widow kept coming and coming and coming. And then the point of this is, then the Lord said to them that your heavenly Father will answer. He says, will not God grant us justice to his elect? Our heavenly Father loves us. Why does God answer prayer? Remember last week I shared this with you. God answers prayer because his children ask, because he loves us. So pray and never give up. So here's the practical thing for this. Never give up. You could write down the person's name. Why? Not to remind God. God's not forgetful. But to remind us and then to see how God works in that person's life. And pray every day, or pray whenever you see that person's name, or pray whenever the Lord leads you to. Pray whenever God puts that person on your heart. If you started with love and compassion, you're going to have a burden for them already. So they're going to come to mind from time to time, and continue to pray. I remember in the church where I was at in Texas, road in front of the church, church office opened up, and you know, right to the road just about. And then there was a road like a 90-degree angle, and about three or four houses down that road, there was a home, and there was a family, and they had a young man in that family, in his 20s, quite handsome-looking guy, but he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a believer, and never came to church, never did anything like that. And he had a job, got a job working for road crew paving asphalt. And one day, the asphalt truck overheated and blew up. And he was burned, was, you know, sprayed asphalt everywhere, so asphalt over a large portion of his body. He was in the hospital for months. He was severely burned, a lot of different stuff. His family was got very protective of him. I couldn't go see him most of the time. I could go see him if no one else was there. But if his mom or his grandmother, who all lived in the house there, no, it might upset him if you come and talk to him. It might upset him if you have prayer with him. It might, you know, and they were part of the church. But they were insulating him. And so I had him on my heart and mind. And I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about God. One day I sit down at my desk and doing studying for a sermon and going through my prayer list. And God said to me, go talk to him. And so in my prayer time, I said, okay, God, I'll go talk to him. And, you know, I'm looking over here on the calendar. Okay, I'm free tomorrow. And God said, no, now. Go now. I said, well, God, I kind of got this, you know, whatever I'm doing, you know, I'm stubborn. God said, go now. And so I finally had enough sense to get up and go. And I went there, and no one was there except this young man. And so I talked to him. And I told him this crazy story. It's the only thing that came to my mind was that two frogs were sitting on a log. And one of the frogs says to himself, I think I'll jump in the pond. So how many frogs are sitting on the log? He said, one. I said, two. Because the frog just said to himself, I'm going to jump in the pond. I said, that's a lot like believing in Jesus Christ. You can think about it. You can say it's a good idea. You can say, I ought to do it someday, but until you actually do it, you hadn't done it. And you know what he did? He accepted Christ that day. Only story I could think of that day. And a while later, when he was more recovered, see, when you're injured that bad and in that way, it does things to your mind. He had psychological trauma. And he got in trouble. And he got addicted to pain medicines. And one day he took his own life. That's the sad part of this. But the good part of this is he was saved. God can minister in any situation. God can use you. God can use your prayers. It doesn't matter. Maybe there was somebody else who was praying for him, and God said, hey, I got this stupid preacher down here who doesn't even want to get out of his office today, who can only remember one story about two frogs, but I think I'll use that. God can use you. So pray persistently and regularly. We ought always to pray and never give up. So I encourage you, you know, take the sermon outline and write people's name down. Write it in the front of your Bible. Write down today, February, you know, and the day's date. I'm praying for this person. On the day that they accept Christ, write down, praise the Lord, I found out they accepted Christ today. So pray persistently and regularly and pray in faith and expectation. And start with love and compassion. I don't believe God's going to save somebody because we got all the words right. Because God already wants to save everybody. But I believe God hears prayer because he told us that we were to pray. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for salvation. And Lord, right now I know that each one of us has people in our lives that we care about. Lord, we want that person found. But I know, Lord, that you want all of your children found. So Lord, I pray for the salvation of those who are lost, for those who do not know you. And Lord, for someone here today that does not know you, I pray, Lord, that you would touch that person's heart, open their eyes so that they can turn from darkness to light and so that they can have eternal life and forgiveness of sin. I pray for them. I pray for us all. In your name, amen.